Hello, you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and we're broadcasting live from the territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. You're listening to The Real World. If you haven't tuned in before, we're on every other Thursday from 4 to 5, and The Real World is UBC Film Society's radio segment, and we talk about all things film-related. Today, we have a very special topic heading into the summer season, but we'll get into that later. I'm Lily, as usual, and a few film stock updates before we dive into our topic of the day. Not only do we host a radio show, but we also host a bunch of other film-related events. We've got weekly double features, beer gardens. You got to check out our Instagram, really, if you want to get the whole lowdown on what we have going on. Instagram at UBC Film Society. You'll see that tomorrow in the Norm Theater, which is in the Life Building on UBC campus, we are screening Ferris Bueller's Day Off at 7 p.m. for our last beer garden of the year. Well, can't believe it's finally come to an end. Bittersweet. But let's jump into some ads and we'll be right back in a couple minutes. Yeah.
Applications for Music BC's ARC Artist Development Program are officially open from now until April 26th. Don't miss your opportunity to be one of 15 BC artists to accelerate your music career with this incredible opportunity. The ARC program highlights, nurtures, and sends into orbit the exciting, diverse voices that beat in BC. This multi-stage program will advance the business, creative, and technical skills of recording artists to help them build sustainable careers in the music industry, both at home and abroad. Led by a faculty of music industry professionals, participants will benefit from decades of experience and success within the music business. Apply now at arcprogrambc.com and take the next step in your musical journey.
This is Kristen Carter. My debut contemporary pop album, Full Bloom, is now yours to discover. Full Bloom is a living garden of 12 songs that celebrates the beauty and the seasonal nature of life. You can find Full Bloom wherever you listen to music. Visit thekristencarter.com or follow at Kristen Carter Music for more. Funded by Factor and Canada's private radio broadcasters.
How'd it go? Are we done with them?
No. They must have seen you.
I don't have any friends and you can too. Tune into Teachable Moments on 101.9 FM every Tuesday at 4 p.m. if you're a f***ing dork.
I specifically said no geeks.
But my mom says I'm cool.
MRG Live presents the moving, heartbreaking, and inspiring Hannah Whipland. Live at the Biltmore Cabaret on Saturday, May 4th, with local group Brat Boy. With media comparisons to Alanis Morissette and Stevie Nicks, you don't want to miss out. Get your tickets now at admitone.com.
Okay, we're back. Yahoo! Again, this is The Real World, UBC Film Society's radio segment at CITR 101.9 FM. So I'm Lily, as usual. I've got to mention, though, that my co-host Emma is not here today. It's a really sad day in the studio. No one can replace her, but four people can. And that's why I have four people in the studio right now. Let's introduce our guests. First off, we have Fernando.
Hi.
And Millie.
Hello.
Also, some other guests sitting off to the side. Zach, say hi. Come on.
Howdy.
And Jasmine, just say hi.
Hola.
Thank you for joining us today, guys. I'm so excited to have everyone here. Okay, first things first, we have to start with an icebreaker question. If you could start your own film production company, what would it be called? It's a classic. It's kind of the go-to. You always get asked this question whenever you're... Let's give it the answer.
Well, it would have to be Dab House Productions.
It would have to be Dab House. Okay, Millie, if you don't know, if you haven't heard, up-and-coming production studio, Dab House Production. We're shamelessly plugging it.
Yeah, it's going to happen. I feel like I've put it into the universe so much that it's impossible for it not to happen.
I'm just saying, like, get on this before it really blows up.
Yeah.
That's the hack. But let's jump into today's episode. The episode's going to be about summer films because the weather's getting warmer, the term is coming to an end, and we kind of just want to highlight some of our ultimate summer watches so you don't have to look any further, because we're going to help curate kind of a summer watch list of summer films about all the summer moods. Let's start with our first film. Dazed and Confused is what I want to talk about first. This is Richard Linklater, 1993, but set in 1976. Starring, we have Matthew McConaughey as Wooderson and Jason London as Randall Pink Floyd. And then also like Ben Affleck, Parker Posey, really fun cast. An iconic summer film. Have you guys seen it?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Amazing. The film follows basically teenagers on their last day of school, the summer starting in Austin, Texas in the 70s. And there's not really like a central character or conflict. It just kind of follows all of these interconnected parts of the plot. What I really like, I think the costumes are super fun. I was kind of looking into Catherine Dover designed the costumes, and she was talking about how all of them are vintage. Like, except for one, she used one top that was like a new top that had just come out. But other than that, like they sourced everything from warehouses in LA and vintage shops in Texas, which I think is so fun because all of the outfits are so good. Like, they've got these really fun bell bottoms, also like boot cut, some baggy like trousers, and then there's that one really great set of overalls, like the denim overalls. Anyway, I love looking at the outfits, and I think it's really cool that they went for authentic vintage. They didn't try to like recreate the looks from the 70s. You know what I mean? And then they also like designed it specifically to the characters. Like, there's the stoners and the popular kids. Did you guys have like a favorite character or like set of like the cliques, one of the cliques?
Yes, and I'm glad you asked.
Okay.
Because I came here with a mission.
What was
and
the
that mission? Mission is to talk about Parker Posey.
Okay. Perfect.
Parker Posey in that film.
Yeah.
She changed my life.
I didn't expect this.
She's so good. She's one of the seniors,
yeah,
for everyone who's seen it or haven't.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of the seniors who is like doing a hazing ritual. I don't endorse hazing, but Parker Posey, on the other hand, I fully endorse.
She's great.
She's great. Air raid, wipe that face off your head. So many good lines.
Wipe that face off your head is too good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's hilarious.
Yeah.
I love it. And she was part of like the kind of popular girl, and she plays it so well. She's just complete drill sergeant mode,
yes,
like everything.
Yeah, this is your sign to watch more Parker Posey films.
Everyone
out there listening.
Do you have like specific recommendations?
Do I? Party Girl, number one.
Okay.
Everyone needs to watch Party Girl. It should be like once you're born, you have to watch Party Girl. Then House of Yes. House of Yes is kind of like insane because it's about twincest.
I never heard of that.
It's an incredible film.
Okay.
Parker Posey's performance in that film, it's just so good. She should have won the Oscar.
Okay.
We can still give it to her.
Yeah, we give it to her. The real world. Not the real world, but the real world. We decided. What about you, Millie? Do you like specific clique resonate with any of them?
I don't know. I feel for those boys in middle school.
The
boys in middle school.
Yeah.
I felt for them, but I don't know. I think it's interesting how there was like no main character and you kind of just flow between them.
Yeah. It's cool. It definitely has that like stoner movie feel, but it also is more than that, I feel,
yeah,
like. Like, it follows the different threads in a way that it's tackling like huge topics,
yeah,
but in this kind of slow, like grounded way, which I think is really cool being, we're all students in here. And coming to like every summer, it made me think of that feeling of a new summer, like getting closer and closer to being not just a student and what comes with that, I guess, of like pressure and independence and freedom, all sorts of things like that. And I like that they did give those different perspectives. Like, there's the younger boys and then the older boys who are just like completely caught up with being jocks and whatever. And then can we talk about Matthew McConaughey's character though? This is like Wooderson, which is such a funny character of he's graduated. I think, did he graduate from that same school? It's like a small town, so I would imagine.
Yeah.
but he's still there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if he's supposed to, like represent the threat of, like, if you go down this wrong path. But also he's got some, like, really inspiring, rebellious notes of him that say, just because it's not the path that they want you to go down, like, doesn't mean it's the wrong path. Anyway, great themes around, like, graduating and moving on, I guess, because you guys are getting there. Fernando's going into his master's.
Yes.
But you've graduated from your undergrad.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then what year are you?
I'm in third year. Well, I just finished third year.
Okay, so you're getting there. You're entering fourth year. Come
on. Big things happening.
Big things happening. And then have you also seen other Linklater films?
Yes. I thought of bringing the Before trilogy, but since you're bringing Dazed and Confused,
yeah,
I thought of just choosing other films.
Well, we talked about the Before trilogy a few weeks ago when we were talking about, like, romance movies.
Yeah. I love the Before trilogy. Mm-hmm. School of Rock, too.
Yeah.
Classic.
And Boyhood.
Yeah, Boyhood.
I watched that film way too young.
I really love all of them. There's, like, a common theme of just grounding realistic elements of his films, including Dazed and Confused. Like, there's just more of a general feeling produced by that I think comes out when he doesn't overload with, like, plot and action. Instead, it just produces, like, a feeling instead, because you really get to sit with the characters. And I guess it feels a little bit, like, simple and more close to what could be real as humans, as students, as whatever. It feels, like, really close to the truth. And I was looking up a little bit about him because I do love his films, and he just sounds like the coolest director ever. Like, he put all of, like, these young actors up in a hotel and just kind of let them basically act as teenagers as they were filming and just, like, be mischievous and all sorts of things. He made them all mixtapes of, like, what their characters would have been listening to at that time, which I think is so fun to, like, help them get into character, and also just, like, let them contribute a lot to their characters, what they were gonna wear, if there was anything they thought would be different that they didn't get right or something like that. Just sounds like a very fun director to work with. Any final thoughts on Dazed and Confused before we take a little listen?
The soundtrack. It's so good.
It's crazy. Like, I was seeing how much they spent on it because a huge portion of the film's budget just basically went to securing pop hits from the 70s. So there's, like, some Kiss. It was Rock and Roll All Night from Kiss and School's Out, Alice Cooper, which is what we're going to listen to. But yeah, a lot went into getting a nice, authentic pop hit soundtrack. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah. Why Can't We Be Friends for Parker Posey?
For Parker Posey. I didn't know you were such a fan.
I love Parker Posey.
I'm so glad to know this now. Yeah. Okay, well, let's listen to School's Out by Alice Cooper. Any final thoughts?
It's like one of those films where there's, like, no real plot. You just feel the vibes. And I think that's key to making it a summer film, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
just feeling
there's
the vibes.
No crazy climax. There's no, like,
yeah,
thing that makes all the characters go crazy. They're just, like, living their life. And it's nice to see at least what I think an accurate representation of, like, teenagers is, because I feel like sometimes when people write films about young people, they get pretty out of touch.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Like, it feels possible. Like, it feels realistic.
It feels like it could have happened.
Yeah, which is the same thing you feel in the Before trilogy of, like, oh my God, this is such, like, a made-up, like, fantasy of romanticizing meeting someone on a train. But they're also, like, so real and also have realistic, like, they're not perfect characters, which I also really like, which makes it feel closer to real as well. I like that thread through all of his films, really. But yeah, it totally feels possible. I like what you said about that. Let's listen to School's Out. This is Alice Cooper, and it plays kind of close to the beginning, right when the bell rings and school's out. So here you are.
Choice, all the girls and boys.
We're back. Okay. That was awesome. That was School's Out by Alice Cooper. We played that because we were just talking about Dazed and Confused, a favorite summer film. If you're looking for something to watch that's kind of just like, I don't know, it felt like a good transition into summer because it like takes place on the last day of school. Relaxing movie, but also some really cool ideas about independence and pressure, all sorts of things. But we've got a couple other movies to talk about. Fernando, what's the next one you want to talk about?
Okay, before I talk about my film, I want to ask a question.
Give it.
What are your first thoughts when you hear, like, summer film? Like, just some words.
First thoughts when I hear summer film. Like, vacation.
Yes, that's crucial.
I think nostalgia.
Okay, that's also crucial.
The heat.
Lovely. You're covering all my bases.
Okay. What about you? Well, what about you?
I have vacation, travel, heat and wet. Uh-huh. We'll get to that.
Okay.
But there is some sense that it'll end, some like ephemeral nature of summer, which I think is very well covered by Dazed and Confused. But that leads perfectly into my films because I'm talking about Summertime, directed by David Lean. And The Green Ray, directed by Eric Rohmer. These are two films about lonely women who go on vacation and they quote-unquote find love. I think I pair them together because...
That's what you do. That's your job as theater manager.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, yeah. But I think it's a good pair because Summertime, you start in Hollywood, 1955, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Katharine Hepburn.
Katharine Hepburn.
She's so good in that film.
Oh my gosh.
It's like very melodramatic and still feels dated. It's a melodrama. It's David Lean. Mm-hmm. He directed Lawrence of Arabia. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're going into. It's a woman who goes to Venice. She has always wanted to go to Venice. Mm-hmm. And in Venice, she's like bored. She doesn't know what to do. She eventually falls in love with a store person, someone who sells stuff. Mm-hmm. And at some point, the vacation ends. I won't say what happens, but the vacation ends.
As they always do.
As they always do. So I'm interested in that, like, temporal nature of vacations and summer films.
Yeah.
This one is very specifically about summer, as the title indicates. And it's very much a film that creates a fantasy about what Venice is as a tourist. An American woman visits Venice. It's beautifully shot. Those shots of Venice are incredible. She's just walking around Venice doing nothing. It's so good.
Yeah. I was looking at some of the shots of just like on these little tiny streets, cobblestone streets in Venice, like light streaming in. It looks beautiful.
It is beautiful. But it serves as a sort of travelogue.
Okay.
Just American tourist in Venice. Which I guess a lot of summer films serve as travelogues.
Meeting a local.
Yeah.
Who shows you around.
Yeah, and then you have immediate conflict because you know it's going to end.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. And then the other one is The Green Ray, which is very similar. This one's a bit more conflicted in that the woman is going through a depression. And the film takes place in several chapters, some lasting like a minute, some lasting longer. Hmm. It's a couple of months in her life in the summertime. She lives in Paris, but she travels all around and she still can't find happiness. At some point, she hears a conversation happening next to her. People are talking about Jules Verne and his book, The Green Ray. The Green Ray, for those who don't know, is a phenomenon in which when the sun sets, the last flash of light you see is like a green flash of light. Mm-hmm. And the theory in the film and in Jules Verne novel is that once you see that ray of light, which doesn't happen every day, to be fair, it's only on like perfectly clear days. Once you see that ray of light, your life becomes clear and you can like understand your own thoughts and feelings and those of your lover. So this film is very much that chase for that, again, ephemeral moment of the green ray and finding love in a place that you don't belong to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very beautiful.
I really like that. I'm so glad you brought that up, because that was something immediately when you said you wanted to talk about this, I was very curious about the title and like what the green ray was. So I looked it up and saw that whole thing on the horizon as the sun sets. And I just think, yeah, what makes it the perfect summer film? I haven't seen it, but that idea of like something being fleeting or so rare, unobtainable, is such a theme of summer, for me at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess finding happiness in those fleeting moments mm-hmm. is where the key is for me. I don't know if you have any thoughts.
I mean, I haven't seen it either, but I feel like that theme like brings across to the film that I'm going to talk about later.
Lovely. Mm.
So
that's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like what comes after finding that little moment of emptiness of like something you wait and wait and wait for, like you wait and wait for summer to come around
mm-hmm. and then
all of a sudden
it.
It's over. Then what? Like, was that gap filled? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil the ending of either of the two films.
Okay.
The Green Ray has one of the best endings I've seen, I think.
Okay.
It's incredible.
So what would you say? Like, watch this film beginning of summer. Like, why would someone listen to this and be like, okay, let me start with this one?
Ooh.
If you're looking, I guess if you want to know the ending, because we're not giving it away on the show.
Yes, if you want to know the ending, yeah. Watch these films. I think you talked about vibes a lot.
We talk about them.
Vibes are, I guess, impossible to describe.
Yeah.
Or explain why they happen. But these films, just like the film photography on these summer bright landscapes.
Yeah.
It's just so beautiful. It gives you a feeling of wanting to be there.
Yeah.
Which, again, goes back to the travelogue form of cinema, I guess. Creating a destination that you want to travel to. And yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
What was the third film?
My third film. It's a little bit different. This is where we go back to Hot and Wet.
Circle back to that.
Yes, because if you think about summer, it's hot, mm-hmm. it's sweaty,
yeah,
and it's wet. So films like Do the Right Thing deal with that in very different ways, albeit. Mm-hmm. But the one I'm talking about is Y Tu Mamá También from Alfonso Cuarón, 2001 Mexican film, starring Gael García Bernal and Diego Luna, two of the most famous Mexican actors, and Maribel Verdú as the woman.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a film about two friends who have been friends for like forever go on a road trip with this older woman with the excuse of like taking her to a beach, but they just want to have sex with her.
Yeah.
And the whole film is their road trip from Mexico City to the beach, which I believe is in Oaxaca. Don't quote me on that. And yeah, it's just very erotic, very vulgar, incredibly Mexican. It's just the perfect summer film for me. Even though it's not explicitly about summer,
uh-huh.
it's a road trip. And I think road films have a very mm-hmm. special place in...
Road trip films, please. We got to start talking. We talked about these last episode in all seriousness, but we love them because last episode we were talking about Thelma and Louise and like what it is to just watch
I love that
two
film.
Girls or a group, two boys and the one woman on yes. the road, just like sitting in the car with them.
And mm-hmm. the homoeroticism, Thelma and Louise.
Oh, yeah.
And Y Tu Mamá También, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just love... They're not explicitly gay films, either of the two.
No.
But there's a reading to be...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so good. I don't know. What'd you think, Millie?
I liked it. The narrator kind of threw me off, but it definitely gives some a vibe. Like, the shots of them just driving on these massive empty roads, and they're all kind of, like, laughing and... trying to impress this woman who's like 10 years older than them, like that teenage boys. It was a really good film, very sexually charged, like
yes,
insanely sexual, but it's like coming of age mm. I guess is also a big summer theme, I
yeah
think.
Totally.
Yeah, it's mostly a film about maturity,
yeah,
as these two boys become men That's only in air quotes.
They learn a lot on the trip too.
They do learn a lot. Yeah,
like the relationship between the two of them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's also a very political film. It's about Mexico's entry into the 21st century.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you see, it's not explicitly about that, but you see a lot of the change out of the window of the car.
Like as they drive through different areas, yeah, and stuff?
You see like manifestations, you see people dying in, mm-hmm, the streets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You see the army stopping cars. You don't know why they're stopping them.
At the beginning there was like the dead body.
Yeah.
And they're like in the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then wasn't there like a protest?
Yeah, there's a protest. Yeah.
I mean, that kind of went over my head because I don't know much about Mexico's history, but, mm-hmm, like, I did notice it.
Yeah. I heard an interview last night where they compare it to, like, the maturity of the boys to the maturity of the country.
Huh. Interesting.
So I think that's an interesting thing to think
about. I can imagine, like, especially, like, if you're from there, going through and, like, seeing things that you might have a memory of, or even like your family has a memory that's been like passed on to you, definitely like striking a chord with memories is something that we are gonna and have talked a lot about related to summer, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it also goes back to the ephemeral nature. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all about the trip. Once they reach the destination, I won't spoil it, there's a beautiful dance and Maribel just dances to the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a stunning shot. It's a long take. Just incredible. Lubezki, he shot the film, the cinematographer. Mm-hmm. Also one of Mexico's most famous cinematographers.
Well, I've got to watch.
Jeez. You have to, yeah.
I feel left out. And so how's the music? We're going to play one song, but...
Yes, this is the song that comes in at the climax.
Okay.
Perfect use of the word climax, by the way. The climax of the film, once they finally reach their destination, they play this song by the beach. I won't say what happens, but it's just a perfect moment. It's a song about love, and I think it's a great summer film.
Okay, and that's perfect. Let's give it a listen. What was the song called?
Oof.
We have, it's Marco. I've got, okay, here it's, artist is called Marco Solis.
Yes, Marco Antonio Solis.
Okay, perfect.
The song is Si No Te Hubiera Sido.
Okay, here we are.
Te extraño más que nunca y no sé qué hacer. Despierto y te recuerdo al amanecer. Espera otro día por vivir sin ti. El espejo no miente. Te veo tan diferente, me haces falta tú. La gente pasa y pasa siempre tan igual. El ritmo de la vida me parece mal. Cuando estabas tú, sí que era diferente cuando estabas tú. No.
despacito sería tan feliz. No hay nada más difícil que vivir sin ti. Sufriendo en la espera de verte llegar. El frío de mi cuerpo pregunta por ti y no sé dónde estás. Si no te hubiera sido, sería tan feliz. La gente pasa y pasa siempre tan igual. El ritmo de la vida me parece mal. Era tan diferente cuando estabas tú. Sí que era diferente cuando estabas tú. No hay nada más difícil que vivir sin ti. Sufriendo en la espera de verte llegar. El frío de mi cuerpo pregunta por ti y no sé dónde estás. Sido, sería tan feliz. No hay nada más difícil que vivir sin ti. Sufriendo en la espera de verte llegar.
Beautiful. Okay, you're still listening to The Real World. You're on CITR 101.9 FM. And this is the UBC Film Society's radio show. We're continuing our theme of summer films for all different sorts of summer moods, preparing you because, come on, it's April. It's about that time of year. Let's talk about After Sun.
Okay, so this is very much like an end of summer film. It's by directed by Charlotte Wells. 2022 is her debut feature. And it stars Paul Mescal as Callum and Frankie Corio as Sophie. It's like a father-daughter duo. And basically, the film is set over, like, I think it's 2 weeks, 1 or 2 weeks, mm-hmm. where Callum and Sophie are on holiday in Turkey in, like, the 90s. But it's interesting because it is kind of shown through a mix of, like, Sophie's memories as an 11-year-old in the 90s in Turkey, and then also, like, footage from a camcorder that she took on holiday with her. And the film's kind of Sophie, like, reflecting on her time with her dad on holiday, which brings us back to this theme, like, we know things are going to end. And not to spoil it, but we're kind of aware that Callum has died at some point after this holiday takes place. We don't really get to see much about his story. It's only Sophie's point of view as a child, too, when she kind of doesn't understand because Callum, like Paul Mescal's character, is like clearly struggling with depression or something is going on. And a lot of things are kind of going over Sophie's head. But she does understand to an extent that there's something wrong with him. And it's kind of just like about childhood innocence because her memories are very hazy. They kind of have like a dreamlike quality. And then you get it mixed in with like the footage from like a 90s camcorder, which is like not always in a good angle, and it's kind of just her mm-hmm. messing about filming her memories with her dad on holiday. And it was interesting because Charlotte Wells, the director, said that the roots of the film were kind of from her flipping through holiday albums of when she was a kid and just being surprised at how young her parents look. And I think we get, at least I do, get very nostalgic at looking back at myself when I was younger and in the summertime.
Yeah.
When you're like on holiday with your parents, you have all these pictures to look back
completely.
On. And that's just the vibe of the film. It's like, it's very melancholic. It's very sad.
Yeah, the video footage for sure. Like, every time we put on, like, bring out the old tapes of camcorder footage from, like, our childhood, like, it captures that so perfectly of, like, feelings of nostalgia.
Yeah.
Of when you were younger, of, when, like, your parents are
seeing
younger.
Yourself and seeing your parents, like, that young, too.
Because you don't really notice, like, I would say, for me at least, the people that I don't realize aging the most are the people you spend the most time with. So, like, yourself and your parents, like, all of a sudden you just are who you are and you don't realize the jump that's happened from whenever this little family vacation was to now, that there is a huge difference.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's, like, Sophie, because it's shown through her perspective as a child, like, seeing qualities in her father that she doesn't really understand at that point, and as she's looking back at it as, like, a 30 or something year old and she has a partner and a child, it's like kind of understanding that your parents are also flawed, even though when you're a kid you kind of view them as your hero, like, they're your whole world. And it's just like coming of age, and it's set in Turkey in the summertime, and it's, like, beautifully shot, these really, like, very heavy on realism, a lot of these, like, long takes of, like, nothing, really, just them hanging around in a hotel in Turkey, you know, going swimming and talking at dinner and stuff. And
it's, like, really fresh coming of age, too, because it almost feels like she's coming of age at her, like, she must be about 9 or 10.
Yeah, like, just coming into middle school age, I think.
But he's also, like, a really young dad.
He's really young. He's, like,
coming of age 30. As well.
So they're, like, growing up together, basically.
Yeah, but there's still enough of this father-daughter divide, age divide, that she's obviously not seeing the full thing. There's always just, like, this looming.
And we as the audience don't get to know much either. Yeah. Like, we don't see anything about his story. And we know that him and Sophie's mom aren't together, and she clearly doesn't see him very much either, which makes it even more, like, nostalgic, and, like, knowing things are going to end, as she doesn't really get to spend time with her dad. So this is, like, very special.
Yeah, and I really like that it's got these unanswered questions, because, again, like, Sophie doesn't get the answers to a lot of the questions she might have, and so why should we? Like, we get to sit with that same kind of, oh, I didn't realize this about him, or there was a misunderstanding. Like, you don't see your parents in full.
And, like, seeing the concrete, like, proof through the camera footage.
Yeah.
And then, like, combining it with the memories that you have that obviously are, like, tainted.
Yeah. But back to the summer feelings, I love what you're saying. I don't know if you thought about any of this kind of artistic side of it, Fernando, of just the colors and the pace, and all of that feels so summer to me.
Yeah, it's, like, very yellow and,
like, really
dreamy,
warm.
Really, really warm, and, like, kind of grainy. You know, like, when you're lying at the beach and your eyes have been staring at the sun for so long.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's blue. Is it green?
I guess it's blue and, like, in my mind, it's blue and yellow. I feel like the aging from the camcorder.
Yeah. Y Tu Mamá También is very yellow and green.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's summer vibes to you. It's kind of weird in some portions of the film.
Yeah.
But once they get to the beach,
It felt, honestly, the whole thing felt summery. I think the vibes, like, even when they're in Mexico City.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Feels summery.
What are summer colors?
Blue and yellow. I don't know. It's more like,
yeah, because Mamma Mia is so blue, but it's still like the most summery thing ever. I guess it's a vibe.
Mm-hmm. And when they're, like, by the ocean too,
yeah,
just makes everything more blue, and the pools as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, also metaphorically blue.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
One of the great endings.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a great ending. So, yeah, we've got a couple of movies that it's like, if it's not summery enough for you, at least you'll want to watch just because you want to know the ending.
Yeah.
Final thoughts on After Sun. I also really want to talk about the next one you picked, Millie.
Oh, yeah, the next one is a banger. Should I just get straight into it?
Get straight into it.
Okay, so Ferris Bueller, I'll never know.
Bueller's
Day Off. We are screening this at FilmStalk's last event of the year, Beer Garden, on Friday. It was my pick. So everyone needs to pull up because it's going to be great. It's a great way to start the summer.
Yeah, these are the only screenings that we sell alcohol at. They're so fun. We have, like, games and stuff, and it's amazing.
Yes, 19 plus.
Yeah, 19 plus. But I picked this film because even though it's not explicitly set over the summer, it takes place when Ferris and his friends are like actively in a semester at school. The vibes are just so, like, it's very on brand with like Dazed and Confused.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I know,
nothing
yeah.
happens, you just feel the vibes
yeah.
and you're like, yes, this is it. So quick rundown of the plot without spoiling too much is Ferris takes a sick day. All takes place over one day, just like Dazed and Confused.
Mm-hmm.
Takes a sick day because the sun is out and it's a nice day and he doesn't want to go to school. And he calls his friend who's actually sick, Cameron, and forces him to come out. And they take his dad's Ferrari and they get Ferris's girlfriend out and they just drive around Chicago and like have a good day, basically.
Yeah.
Like the whole theme of the film is just to look around and enjoy life. And Ferris says that at the beginning, he goes, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you might miss it. And that's like the whole theme, because it's kind of like shown that they're graduating soon and Ferris just wants to like spend time with his friends before mm-hmm. everything changes.
Yeah.
Which is a summer, like that's a summer feeling, you know?
Yeah. It reminds me of a certain quote from a certain movie. The older you get, the more rules they're going to try to get you to follow.
Yeah.
You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N. I'm not sure if that's the exact combination of what he said, but
something along
that's
those
a quote
lines.
We get from Dazed and Confused.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
What? The iconic, you just got to keep living. L-I-V-I-N.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? The scene on the football field.
I only remember Parker Posey's quotes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You cannot be saying that. What about, all right, all right, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Give Matthew some credit, please.
Okay.
But
I'll
give
Matthew some credit.
Real parallels that I was seeing between the two.
Yeah, they do go hand in hand. But the difference with Ferris is that his day feels so unrealistic. Like, everything you could dream of, they manage to do between, like, school hours.
Yeah.
Like, he, you know, takes the car, he gets his friends, they go into the city, they go drive about, they are in a parade, they go, is it like the stock market or something? I don't know. And then they go and look over a high building. And then they go to an art gallery and they're just having this, and they go to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just, all of these like impossible scenarios happen. But it's so fun to watch. And you feel like you're getting FOMO. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I feel nostalgic for a like place that I wasn't even at.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Or a time that you didn't
exist in. A time that I didn't exist in.
Yeah. It totally. Like, the same thing with the 70s in Dazed and Confused or 80s here. I get what you mean, which I feel like the music and the costumes also bring me there too.
Yeah.
Of like, these are, when we see these songs and mm-hmm. these outfits like coming back into the cycle nowadays and you're like, oh, I recognize that. That's like something I really like. And mm-hmm. then you see when it was actually at its height, popularity.
Yeah. And this is a John Hughes film, by the way, 1986. And like, I feel like all of John Hughes films have the same vibe. Like Breakfast Club,
okay.
16 Candles. And then he also wrote Home Alone. Like
some
Home
of the
Alone
great
films.
Teenage high school films.
Like Teenage Spirit, you know? And it kind of just makes me want to take a day off and like go and spend time with my friends.
He does it no matter the cost.
No, he does.
Sometimes you just need... He needed a mental health day.
Yeah, he did. And he took it and made the most of it.
There's still time for you next year.
Yeah, that's true.
There's still time for you next year, too. Why are you talking like you're like...
I've already done it.
Been there, done that. That was in Fernando's youth.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some great songs. Any final thoughts on Ferris Bueller's, though? Ferris Bueller's Day
Off? I think
off?
You should come and see it for yourself on Friday, is what I think.
I agree.
It's a great way to start the summer. Yeah.
On the road with their friends, mischief.
Yeah, just having fun and like enjoying your day and just making memories with your friends, because you know it's not going to last forever. Yeah.
Yes, I love it. Okay, let's play a song. Which one did you want to pick again?
Twist and Shout.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Let's have a listen.
Out.
Okay, we're back. That was an epic scene. This is like when Ferris is on the parade float and they just turn and see their friend. Oh my gosh, that's totally one of the scenes, exactly what you were talking about, of like feeling FOMO for something that you weren't even there for. Like, imagine having a friend like Ferris.
Yeah.
Crazy. Oh, I love it. Okay, let's take a look. What are some of your favorite summer films, Zach?
Well, summertime for me is typically the time when I actually have time to watch movies.
Yeah.
So I try and, like, I don't even watch just exclusively summer movies. I watch basically everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, like, 2 or 3 years ago, I got this box set by this director, Wong Kar-wai, who's one of my favorite filmmakers. And I just spent an entire week going through all of these movies, and I was just elated throughout. And I love all these movies, but the one that is really a summery movie for me out of his movies is Chungking Express.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is just, it's so fantastic. It's like kind of like a split narrative where it's like the first half of the movie talks about, it's like a, there's like this police officer and he's trying to crack down on like this drug deal or like this drug trafficker. And then he ends up falling in love with a woman who ends up being the drug trafficker. And yeah, it's just about like, she's so like, she just is so like, she pushes him away and she's like, get the fuck away from me. And he's just like, oh, you know, but I like spending time with you and stuff like that. Because like my, oh right, yeah, his like prior girlfriend like broke up with him. So he's like feeling like lonely and stuff. But and then the second half, which is definitely more of the summary side, is like this employee at like this
sandwich shop,
yeah, which is called Chungking Express. Her the actress Faye Wong, she's incredible. But she basically has this like interesting relationship with another police officer, who's played by Tony Leung, and they're both so amazing in it. But just seeing how they interact in just like the environment and just like how hot it looks and just like how, you know, it, like Fernando was saying with like Y Tu Mama También, how it's just so hot and just like sweaty, and it's just like, it really just reminds me of summer. And just like there's a motif with like they always play the song California Dreaming by the Mamas and Papas. And like, again, another big thing of summer for me is like the soundtrack and like the songs that really come about. And that's such a summery song. I remember hearing that growing up, or even like, yeah, Twist and Shout, or
yeah,
all these songs growing up. So yeah, no, it's just one of those summery movies that I absolutely adore. And yeah.
Can you rewatch every summer or longer period?
Yeah, no, I generally watch it as often as I can, because it's one of those movies where it's like, you know, you don't really feel like it grows on you. Like the more you watch it, the more you notice, and it's just such a joy to watch. You know, it doesn't feel like a slog to get through. It's pretty quick. I think it's like 100 minutes, like an hour 40, okay, 45. So, but it's a lovely movie. Definitely part of that summery brand. So yeah, check it out if you haven't.
Let's listen. This is a bit of the Mamas and the Papas' California Dreamin'.
Thank you.
Okay, that was California Dreamin', which, if you didn't get quite enough of it, because we stopped it a bit early, you're going to get quite a lot of it if you watch Chungking Express.
They play it for like the entire second half of the film, just on loop.
Amazing. Okay, well, today we've covered a lot of films. We've got one more to go, but we've gone through Ferris Bueller. We've gone through a lot of different decades, too. I'm glad we got variety. Dazed and Confused.
This is the 90s, isn't it?
Dazed and Confused takes place in the 70s.
Yeah.
Came out in the 90s. Summertime.
55.
Yeah. A lot of great films for different moods of the summer. The last one I want to talk about is called Take This Waltz, which is Sarah Polley, 2011. Directed true Canadian. She's from Toronto. I'm from Toronto. I'll get into that later. But it's starring Michelle Williams as Margot, Seth Rogen as Lou, and Luke Kirby as Daniel. A little bit of the plot, if you haven't seen it, it's about a happily married woman, Margot, married to Seth Rogen, Lou, but falls for an artist who lives across the street, Luke Kirby's Daniel. It's about marriage and communication, love, but also lust. And I really like this theme that it draws on between acceptance and curiosity. This isn't like directly related to summer, but it's just a theme that comes up a lot that I really like. And it alternates between these two perspectives. One that begs the question, like, what if, is it worth exploring these other options? Like, what if I don't do this and I regret it? All of those what ifs that I think come up a lot throughout the year, but also in the summer, like, what if I try this new thing, meet this new person, do this new job? And then this other perspective, the opposite side of this, that says something will always be missing. Something will always feel inexplicably empty in you in some way. And trying to find that, what if I do this to fill it? What if I do that? You're going to just drive yourself crazy. If you keep trying to fill this gap, there's always going to be a gap. Just like let it be and stop trying to like make your life this perfect level and balance of everything. Just kind of accept. So yeah, these themes of curiosity and acceptance, I love. But also, the reason that I picked it is it's just this totally Toronto summer film. And I'm from Toronto, and it's not trying to hide its Toronto-ness, which I really like because Toronto plays a lot of different cities. But it's not trying to hide the fact that it's shot near like Trinity Bellwoods. It's like right in the heart of the city, 10-minute drive from my house, like streets that I recognize completely. I love it. And it's also at Woodbine Beach, like some really recognizable spots, Lakeview Diner. Right when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, that's Lakeview. I don't know if any of you have been to Toronto, but like Lakeview to me is a total classic Toronto date spot. Like it's a rite of passage. And there Michelle Williams is on a date. I was completely starstruck. I was like, I've sat basically right in those tables, like across from someone. And my idol Michelle Williams is in Lakeview Diner. It's just a crazy feeling to like see places that you really have memories. And it's shot in the summer. And it's got that complete feeling of a Toronto summer. The hum of the fan is a constant sound throughout the film. The cool early mornings, like in Toronto neighborhoods. The gleam of sweat. Like I love like seeing someone's like red heated face in the summer with like, you can tell like they're sweating. It's great. It's one of the things I love about Mamma Mia. We talk about Mamma Mia a lot. But that you can see like Sophie's red face and her sweat running around planning her wedding. It's the same thing if you can see Michelle Williams like having that little glimmer of sweat laying in front of the fan as it hums next to her. I love it. It's the perfect Toronto summer. I've only ever spent my summers in Toronto. So I love to watch it. But yeah, that's the last one we're going to talk about today. Hope you guys learned a little bit about the films, but also added some good movies to your summer watch list to get you in the mood for summer. Thank you for joining me to my guests, Fernando and Millie.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
You'll have to come back. And thank you to Zach as well. Zach's off the mic, but we appreciate you coming. Anyway, thanks for listening. You'll hear us back on at 4 p.m. every other Thursday. So in 2 weeks' time. All right. Thanks for listening.